Galatians chapter 1, verse 1.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead.
And he's saying, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. What St. Paul is trying to say, he says, I am not called by man. I am called by God. Today, if you see, there are so many people going to Bible colleges, getting their degrees, and coming out and do not know how to preach the gospel of salvation. What they are studying, some of the colleges, they are studying histories and geography and catechism and all of those things. And when they come out, they do not know how to lead someone to Christ. St. Paul is saying, I am not called by man. I am called by God. I am called by Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He says, the Jesus Christ who died for you, who was buried, and who is risen, and that's the Christ who called me. There are so many people preaching their religious gospel, but there is not a single religion in the world can tell us their leader was dead, was buried, and today he's alive. Jesus Christ is the only one who died for the mankind, and he is alive today. Book of Hebrews, we read, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God is unchangeable God. And that's why St. Paul is saying, I am not called by man, I am called by God. Because if you're working for man, you're going to say what man wants you to say. Many, many people, I'm talking about the pastors, they study the Word of God, and some of them do not want to study. They want to get somebody's commentary or somebody's opinion, and then they will preach. Today, in a computer, if you want to prepare the sermon, there are so many sermons already there. And some of them can sell you the sermons. They will say, oh, Pastor, you are so busy, you don't have time to prepare the sermons. Here is the sermon, it's already prepared. Just send some money or buy our stuff and you will have already ready sermon. And people are using it. St. Paul is saying, I'm not using those kind of sermons. I'm not called by man. I'm not here to please man, I'm here to please God. So why he's saying, you will know as we finish this chapter. Let's read the verse too.
And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father.
And now he's giving the greetings and he's saying, all the brethren with me, they are greeting you. And now he's saying about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, he might deliver us from the present evil world. Now we are living very evil and crooked generation. Can you imagine if the Saint Paul could say 2,000 years ago, that we are living in the evil and crooked generation and God will deliver us. There is not a single person can give you freedom from sin or freedom from these evil activities. Yesterday somebody called me over the telephone and he was listening to our program in New York, Albany. And this brother says, Pastor Peter, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He says, I am hooked up to the internet. And are you doing anything physically? He said, no. Mentally, I'm enrolled in all these things. And I have no peace. I have no joy. I have no victory. I am living a defeated life. I said, sir, this will be your last day. And you will have victory over it. If you need a victory, you go to church. Read the word of God. And grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And I said, now, the word of God says, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. What it says? It says, two of us agree and pray. What happens? God answers prayer. Please read.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
I said, you need the unity of the brother. Go to the pastor, go to the brother, or somebody who has a faith, and agree with that person. And the word of God says, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. Devil should not be tormenting you. You should be resisting devil. Devil should not be working on your head. He should be where? Under your feet. But when you enroll with the demonic things, the spirit of devil will get hold of you. And he says, I am having a problem. In short, I said to him, we are together going to team and resist the devil, and today is the victory for you. What St. Paul is saying, God only has the power to rescue us, make us free from the present evil world. And what he said, according to the will of God and our Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our triune God working to set you free. God the Father sent God the Son to this world, and the Holy Spirit is preparing you for Jesus Christ to come. So God is a holy God. And he wants his people to be holy. People go to church and they thinking go to church like having good time. One church I went to and they invited me to preach. I preached in the church, and when I came out in the parking lot just like a set on fire. What happened? All of the people standing there were smoking. And I took one man and said, sir, why don't you smoke in the church? You know what he said? Oh, church is a holy place. I cannot smoke in the church. I say, you got it wrong, sir. This is the church. Your body is the temple of the living God. That building has nothing to do with the church. When the church of God, the body of Christ, meet in that building, that becomes the place to worship. And the man took me home and he told me, I never heard anyone preaching what you did. And that man was a karate champion. If somebody shoot me with a bullet, it will not touch me. And he made a song that he said, the cigarette is the ladder to go to heaven. So he loved the cigarette so much. But when I prayed with him that same day, that man gave up everything and he wrote another song. He says, cigarette is the poisonous snake and bites me and kills me. And he was completely set free. What the word of God is saying? Our God is the only one. Send Jesus Christ to this world to set you free from this present evil situation or present evil world. And people, they are thinking they are Christians, but how they're walking? Walking like a dead man. They have no life. The man was saying to me, sir, I have no victory. I cannot testify. I cannot tell anybody about Jesus Christ. But when I finished praying with him, I said, sir, now you are not a defeated one. You are victorious. Because the word of God says we are more than conqueror. God has called us to live for Him and for His glory. We cannot live a defeated life. People are thinking, if I go to church one day, automatically I'll be sanctified because I go to the holy place and I come back. It doesn't work that way. Our heart has to be transformed.
Amen.
Our life has to be transformed. And it's not going to be automatically. Only God can do it. Okay, verse 5.
To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Now his salutation is over and he says, To whom? Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all the glory goes to God. He is the Creator. He is Almighty God. And we should be giving glory to God, not only in the church, but he says what? Forever and ever. In your house, when you're cooking, when you're vacuuming, when you're doing your chores, every time, whatever you're doing, think about God. You know the psalmist, what he says? Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
How many times? Day and night. So our heart should be tuned with God, not only Sunday morning service or Sunday evening service or Wednesday Bible study or prayer meeting. We should be meditating on the Lord for every day, day and night. And that's why he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. We should be giving glory to God day and night. Once you start doing that, devil has no authority over your body or mind or soul or spirit. Because you occupied with God. Your full life is filled with the glory of God. Do you know what the word of God says? Romans chapter 3 verse 23. He says, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. What happens when you commit sin? You lose the glory of God. You lose the power of God. But once you are born again, child of God, praising God and glorifying God, your life also is full of glory. People are going to see Jesus in you. They're going to say something about you. Your talk, your behavior, everything seems like a gentleman. And then you have something to say. You say, I was not the way I am today. I was a sinner. I was dying without God and without Christ. I was sick and afflicted. Jesus Christ came into my life. He changed my life. So I am living the life of Christ. That's the kind of witness Christians should have. But this church, what happened to Galatian church? They were born again. They were transformed. And somebody comes to their church, a false prophet. The person claimed to be Christian, but leading them astray. And that's why St. Paul is writing this letter to these people. You would know. Let's read the verse 6.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
He says, I marvel. I'm surprised. What happened to you? So soon. You changed to another gospel. That means whatever I taught you, you forgot. And you went astray. There is a saying, you hear this way and goes this way. Doesn't stay in your mind. Some people, they go to church, they listen to the word, and they come back, and somebody say, what was the message? I don't know. I told you one lady I asked, she was working in the shop, and I said, sister, do you go to church? She said, I don't go because I'm so busy. I work 7 days a week. But my pastor bugging me to go to church. So once in a while I go. And what I do? I find the fattest person and sit behind that person and sleep. That's what I do. Now, if that person comes out and you ask that person, what was the pastor preaching? They would not know, because she didn't go to church to listen to the word of God. She went to church to sleep. St. Paul is saying, I gave the message of salvation to you. I gave you the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. What did you do with the gospel? There is a one man said, some people are spiritual gluttony. Now, do you know what spiritual gluttony is? You read the Bible, you buy the tapes, you buy the videos, you go to every meeting, go and listen to every preacher, but you cannot even witness to your neighbor or do anything about what you know. So what does it mean? You eat, but you have no strength to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Someone says, if you cannot tell somebody about Jesus, you should not be hearing about Jesus Christ. So here St. Paul is saying, what happened to you? I gave you the message, and you turn to another gospel. Okay, read the verse 7.
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
What is saying? He said, there is no other gospel. What the gospel means? Good news. What is the good news? Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died for you. He rose again. He's a living God. He has given you the same authority and power to live an eternal life. And Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go to heaven, prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and I'll take you wherever I am. That's the gospel. He says, I gave you the good news, and you turn to another gospel, another news that is not even good news. That's not even gospel. And so the people like to hear stories, or they like to hear some scary stuff. Do you know that Harry Potter? And people, Christian people, think, oh, this is a good book. And they're buying that book for their children. And the children are crazy about that book. They don't want to keep that book down. They want to finish that book. How many children reading the Bible? How many parents are thinking that my child should be going to Sunday school and reading the Bible, or when they come home, then talk to them, did you learn anything? Do you know anything about Jesus Christ? People are turning to another gospel. They do not want to hear the good news. They don't want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So St. Paul says, I am marvel. I am sorry that you people are not understanding the will of God. Let's read the verse 8.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Now this is a strong warning. St. Paul saying, if we preach another gospel, or even an angel comes and preach another gospel, that person should be cursed. That means there is no other gospel. There is no other good news. What Jesus Christ said, St. John chapter 14, verse 6. What he said? Please read.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life. There is none other life, there is no other truth, and there is no other way. If you want to go to Father, if you want to go to heaven, come through me. There is no other way. And that's the gospel. So St. Paul is saying, if somebody tells you something else, there are people, you go to India, do you know how many gods they have? They had 33 million gods. Can you imagine? 33 million gods. And one day I sat with a Hindu priest and I said, could you name them? He could not even name their 33 million gods. And I cannot tell you each and every religion. Each and every religion, in a nutshell, I'm telling what they do. They are going to tell you do something good. And then you go to heaven. That's called karma in Indian languages. Do something good. The man cannot do anything good. And even the people are trying to do good, but they cannot do it. And if they do it, the word of God says, your self-righteousness is like a filthy rag in the sight of God. Amen. Now somebody says, I'm doing good things, a charitable works, and that is filthy rag in the sight of God? Yes, sir. How do you know? Because God says, if you are unholy person, whatever you do is unholy to God. Amen. Our God is a holy God. Our hands are unholy. Our minds are unholy. Our heart is unholy. And then you cannot worship the Lord with unholy things. David says, I cannot come to the presence of God with unholy hands. So what does it mean? Only God can make you holy. How? With his precious blood. That's why Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. And that blood has a power to wash your sins away. And that's why we come to Jesus Christ and ask forgiveness for our sins. Read that verse, 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 to 9. Please read.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So here the word of God is saying, God wants to cleanse you, wash you, and make you holy. But if you say, I don't have a sin, I'm not a sinner, then what? You are deceiving yourself. If someone says, I'm not a sinner, that person will never go to heaven. Why? Because I just said a few minutes ago, Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every person who is born into this world, they are all sinners. If somebody says, I'm not a sinner, he is kidding. He has to be honest. There is not a single man born into this world says, I never committed any sin. You ask that person simple question. Do you lie? Say, oh, I do lie. Then what is happening to if you lie? Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. Please read. Now people say lying is nothing. But if you lie in a court, then you know lying is so difficult. In the court, you cannot lie, you cannot flip-flap. If you do that, you will be guilty. Okay, please read.
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Can you imagine? All this list is given. And in that list, one of the list is all liars. And somebody says, oh, but I'm a Christian. And if Christian lies, that is automatically forgiven. No, sir. We just read 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You have to confess your sins and forsake your sins. You are not going to be automatically forgiven. And so, if you start committing sin, and if you start lying, you will go to the eternal hellfire. So the Christian life is a victorious life. And God gives you grace. Somebody says, I don't know how to live a victorious life. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You will have victory. Last Sunday, if you remember, what was the message? O heavy laden, come unto me. When you come to Jesus Christ, He transforms you. He makes you new. And that's why we believe that Jesus Christ has power to change us. But if you start listening to the another gospel, which is not a gospel, you're going to go to hell. Some person says, but I heard one preacher said, if you are born again, if you once you saved, saved forever. If that's the truth, then St. Paul doesn't have to come to Galatians and write this letter. Let them go astray. Let them go to any gospel. Somehow they will go to heaven. If that's the way, then St. Paul doesn't have to write to those people. It is not like once you saved, saved forever. If that's the truth, then 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it should be taken out of the Bible. You don't have to ask forgiveness. You come to Jesus Christ and you're forgiven forever. Doesn't work that way. If you commit sin, you have to ask forgiveness. So if you're going astray, when the word of God says, repent. Do you know what repent means? Repent means turn around. You're going away from God, now come back to God. And that's what repentance is all about. So St. Paul is saying, even though I preach the wrong teaching, or the angel preached the wrong teaching, they're all going to be cursed. Let's read verse 9. Galatians 1:9.
Said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Now he's repeating again. He says, and again I tell you, when somebody says you twice, you be serious. So he's saying, I told you once, I'm telling you again. If anyone preaches another gospel or mixes something or teaches you wrong, that person will be cursed. Do you know today in some churches they are teaching the false gospels? I don't have time to tell you, but you know yourself. If somebody stands there and preaches something which is not in the Bible, then you know it is false. And so many people are mixing the gospel. They are even trying to translate the Bible according to their wish. They want Bible according to what they think. And there are some Bibles out. And if you don't know, there is a Bible for the Antichrist people. And Bible for everybody. But St. Paul saying, let me tell you again. If you're going astray, if you're preaching another gospel, you will be cursed. Verse 10.
Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
This is the sign of the man of God. The man of God not supposed to pleasing people. Some of the places, some of the churches, if you give $1 million to pastor or church, doesn't matter what you do, they will love you. They will hug you. They will put your name in a treasurer or some big post. Doesn't matter what you do. One day I went to Civic Center, there was a one man, I'm not giving his name, and he was having a crusade. And one lady gave him $15,000 to his ministry. Now he should have kept his mouth shut, but he came to the pulpit and announced it. He said, there is a lady who does a liquor business. She has a bar, and she gave $15,000 to the ministry. Can you imagine? If that person trying to kill you, trying to destroy your families, and many people have many problems with the liquor. Some people are addicted. And some people are dying with the sickness and disease. And if that kind of person doing that kind of business and giving you $15,000, $20,000, and you come to the pulpit and make that person big, That is not godly thing. So St. Paul says, I am not here to please men. What is our mission? We are here to please God. We have to stand before God one day. So we are here to serve the Lord. Not looking at people's faces, how they dress, how much money they have, and what kind of job they have, and according to that you treat them. No. If you read the book of James, he said you look at the person who has the golden rings and beautiful clothes and tell them, oh, come on, come sit on the front. And if somebody comes poor, you tell them, oh, no, a little bit further, stay away. God has called us with a definite high calling. We have to see each and every individual person like a child of God and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't care if the person is black or white or yellow or brown or whatever the nationality or color or language, we should love them all. What the Word of God says, John 3:16, you know that. What he says, God so loved the world. He did not love Jewish nation or America or Europe or some particular country. He loved the whole world. And he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross of Calvary. That's the love of God. When you go to the street or go to somebody's house, don't look at their face. Tell them the truth. Sometimes somebody comes to your house, a guest, and that person drinks and you don't drink. What do? Go and buy a very expensive liquor bottle and keep it on the table to impress that person. Or if that person smokes or something, you go and make comfortable, buy some cigarette for him and make him happy. Don't look at their money, don't look at their fame, don't look at their faces, don't look at their clothes. Look unto Jesus Christ. Why Jesus Christ has called you? What is your mission in this world? Why are you here? Not to please people, to please God. I learned one thing when I read this word in my life first time. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I go to anyone's house or anyone comes to my house or I'm in the shopping center or I'm standing for outside. I start telling people about Jesus Christ. What book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says? Please read.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That gives us power, victory. So once we know the truth, we should tell people the truth. What Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. And don't say, okay, it's okay with me. You can do anything in my house. You can do anything in my church. That's fine. God loves everybody. God loves everybody, but God doesn't love sin.
That's right.
He loves sinners, but he doesn't love sin.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and he took up the sin of the whole world, what happened? God's face turned away from him. And what Jesus Christ says, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? God does not love sin. He loves sinner. And he wants you to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the power of God. And be like him. Be like Jesus. That's the calling God has given to us. That's why St. Paul is saying, I'm not here to please men. I'm here to please God. Verse 11. Galatians 1:11.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, St. Paul is saying, the gospel I'm preaching, I'm not preaching, learning from men. He got a direct vision, direct message from Jesus Christ. And he learned from Jesus Christ. As I told you earlier, People go to Bible college and come out and do not know what to do. I saw a man, he went to Bible college for 12 years. And he got a job in the merchant navy. And I met him, American, from New York. And I said, "Sir, are you Christian?" He said, "Yes, I'm a Christian. I went to Bible college. I studied 12 years in Bible college." I said, "Do you have a church? Are you evangelist?" "No." "What are you doing?" "I'm in a merchant navy." "And what do you have in your hand?" "A cigarette." I said, "Sir, why did you go to Bible school in the first place?" And I sat with him. I prayed with him. I led him to Christ. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. That time I was in India. He went to New York and he wrote me a letter from New York. Say, "Pastor Peter, today I'm in a church and helping the pastor." What I'm trying to say, we have a mission to tell people. Doesn't matter if he's 12 years in Bible college or something like that, don't be ashamed to tell him about Jesus Christ. First thing you ask, "Are you saved?" One day one man came, he's a Catholic priest, and he went to last rite to the one lady who was dying. And I stood outside, and when he came out, I asked him a first question. I said, "Sir, that lady is dying. Did you tell her about Jesus Christ? Did you tell her to repent of her sins? Did you tell her to give your life to Jesus Christ?" You know what he said? He said, "I don't have to tell her." I said, "Why? Everybody is going to go to heaven." I said, "Hindus are going to go to heaven?" "Yes. The Hindus and Muslims and the Jewish and everybody is going to go to heaven." I said, "Then why you became a priest? And why are we preaching about Jesus if everybody's going to go to heaven? And then why Jesus Christ has to come and die on the cross of Calvary?" He had no answer. What I'm trying to say, I would have said, "Sir, why did you go to Bible college? Why did you become priest? 12 years, 10 years you studied and you do not know how to lead that one dying soul to Christ. You just gave something and said, this is the last rite to you. And you go to heaven because I gave you the communion." Communion is nothing if you don't know what the meaning is about communion. So what I'm trying to say, St. Paul is saying, "I am not here learning from man and teaching you man's doctrine." He got it from Jesus Christ. Let's read the following verse.
"For ye have heard of my conversation and past time in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father."
Why he's saying to these people, you know, because there was a one man who is a Jewish man, became a Christian, received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and now he's preaching to Galatian church that you don't need only Jesus, you need some other rituals, you need some other doctrine, you need to observe the Jewish law and do according to the law, otherwise you are not going to go to heaven. That's the kind of teaching the man was giving in their church. So St. Paul is saying, "People, I was a Jewish man. I was born in a Jewish family. And I did all the Jewish rituals. I did all learn Jewish law. And I was so jealous and had so zeal about God and destroying the Christians because they were not Jewish. And that's the kind of things I was doing. And all my relatives and all my Jewish friends, I was well known in those community what I was doing, and I was proud what I was doing." So what he's trying to say, what I was doing, it was not right. I was doing wrong thing. And that's what he's trying to say. But now you are trying to do the same thing what I was doing. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 15.
"But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace."
Now St. Paul is saying, what he was doing everything against God. He was doing against Christ. You remember what Jesus said to him? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And what Paul says, who are you, Lord? And what Jesus says, I am the Jesus of Nazareth. So what does it mean? He says, if you are persecuting the children of God, persecuting the Christian people, you are persecuting me. And so he says, I was doing that, and now God called me. And when he called, he says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from the mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now somebody says, if you are chosen for the Lord from mother's womb, why did you do these things? Maybe 20, 30, 40 years. Once you are born again, child of God, then you know what the plan of God is for you. God knows your future better than you. God knows your end from the beginning. God knew when the Paul was in mother's womb what he was going to do. And that's why St. Paul is saying, God has chosen me from my mother's womb to preach this glorious gospel. And this is the grace of God. Now some people are born into this world and they are blaming their mother, they are blaming their father, they are blaming their religion, they are blaming anything and everything why they are bad. St. Paul didn't say like that. St. Paul says, God had chosen me from my mother's womb. God has given each and every person a chance to do something good. This is the will of God. The word of God says, God loved us so much, he loved us before the foundation of the world. He had chosen us before the foundation was laid. He had chosen you and me for his work. We don't know. Once you get saved, then you can look back and say, how God is so good to me. I was dying without God and without Christ. And I was going to go to hell. Thank God, God saved me. That's what he's saying. Because of his grace, what I am doing today. But I know God had a plan for me. I was not even born. I was in my mother's womb. And God had a plan for me. So each and every person should be thinking, God has a plan for me. God doesn't want me to go astray. God wants us to be like him. That's what he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. I will change you. That is the plan of God. Okay, let's go further. Verse 16.
To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Now what he's trying to say? When God called him with a definite high calling, he did not go to his priest or rabbi or mom or dad or uncle or auntie to find out, oh, I was going to Damascus and Jesus called me and I want to follow Jesus. What do you think? Do you think I should give my life to Christ or not? He said, I didn't go to my flesh and blood. I didn't go to my relatives to find out. Now, once you're ready, you're not looking for mom or dad or brother or sister. We came alone, we are going to go alone. You cannot wait for somebody for salvation. You cannot wait for somebody for baptism. You have to take a stand yourself. Paul says, I did not go to ask my relatives. I should follow Jesus or not. Once God calls you, you don't go to your friend or your girlfriend to ask. I went to church last night and I went there and gave my heart to God. Do you think I did the right thing? You know what that girlfriend will say? You are a fool. We have to enjoy the life. You are too early to do these things. So what I'm trying to say, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, do not take any ungodly man's advice. We just read Psalm 1. What did he say? He doesn't listen to ungodly people. He doesn't sit with them. He doesn't talk with them. He doesn't associate with them. But what he does? Meditates the Word of God day and night. If you want to follow the Lord, then the path is narrow. You have to follow the Jesus Christ. The Word of God says, all this sinful activity, what you're doing, go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and start reading from verse 1 to 3.
Therefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Okay, now what is he trying to say? The sin easily trying to come. The sin is making you heavy load. Last Sunday we learned that the devil is giving you yoke of iron and heavy load and pressing you down. Now if you want to run in marathon, you don't run with a 200 pound in your back. Even the bicycle you take the lightest bicycle. You don't take a heavyweight bicycle to run in the marathon. So any slightest sin you have to get rid of that sin and then run. Otherwise, you're going to lose. Okay, where are you running? Go ahead.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay, he says, where are you running? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look left. Don't look right. Don't say this man is doing this and he still goes to church, and that man is doing this and still he goes to church. You're not looking at man. Looking unto Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We need a faith in God. We need a faith of God. Otherwise, our life will be miserable. We have to look into Jesus Christ and run our race, not men. So St. Paul is saying, I did not take anybody's advice. I'm just following Christ. Verse 17. Galatians 1:17.
Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Mm.
What is he trying to say? Why he didn't go to Jerusalem? Who was in Jerusalem? Peter, John, James, all these apostles. He didn't go there to take their advice. Jesus just called me. Could you teach me the gospel? Could you teach me the doctrine? I don't know anything. Could you tell me how to preach? He did not go to them, he said. He just went a lone place. Sat with Jesus Christ and learned the doctrine of Christ, and then came to Damascus, and then he went to Jerusalem. Time doesn't permit. We are going to stop here. God willing, we'll continue this next week. Shall we rise? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Father, give us grace to follow Christ and no turning back. Thank you for the high calling. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us and use us more and more for your glory. Your word says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. And when the Son of God, or Son of Man, sets us free, we are free indeed. We are not in the bondage. Devil has no authority, no power over us. You have given us victory, and we are going to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.